I have a different title for my message today, don't I? The supercharger gifts. Perhaps you're not familiar with a supercharger. Supercharger is a device that they put on an engine. Just your regular stock engine for an automobile. Could be any engine. One made by Ford, Chrysler, GM. But you put a supercharger on it, and suddenly that engine has much, much more power. That's why it's called a supercharger. You know, a pastor always looks for a good illustration. And there's a whole host of gifts that, well, quite frankly, they puzzle us. Not because they're odd, and we don't understand what they're basically about, but they're so normal. Gifts like administration. Gifts like helping. Gifts like serving. I mean, what in the world does it mean to be having the spiritual gift of administration? I mean, there's lots of fine and very good administrators in the world who aren't Christians. So what does it mean to be spiritually gifted to administrate? It's kind of a problem. Well, I think that's where this illustration comes in. I want to suggest to you that these so-called normal gifts are activities that are normal human activities. But God, by His Spirit, supercharges them. It takes a stock activity like administering or helping or serving, and suddenly the Holy Spirit adds superpower to it. Now, what I'm going to do today is I'm going to give you two examples of gifts that I will call supercharger gifts. One is the gift of discerning spirits. I chose that one because you may not even think it's very normal. You think, well, that sounds pretty exotic, you know, discerning of spirits. That's something that maybe pastors should do. Well, I'm going to show you that it's something you should be doing. Should be part of your normal activity every day of discerning spirits, all right? But then the other one is one that's so normal that you just might say, what in the world is this? I mean, this can't be a gift. And that's craftsmanship or artisanship. And I'm going to go to the Old Testament and show you how God can even take something so mundane as being a craftsman and supercharge it for the glory of God. And then I'm going to put it all together for application. And I'm going to take a verse from 1 Peter, which I think is oftentimes neglected when we look at spiritual gifts, but it actually is probably one of the most important. And it's a passage of Scripture that calls all of us to serve God by the power that He provides us. So I want to read that passage as we begin from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. And I think these two verses just provide a great context and overview of what I mean by gifts that are supercharged. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belongs glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And amen to that. So may God now add His blessing to this reading of His holy and infallible word. So as I said before, I want to begin with two examples. And first of all, the example, the gift of distinguishing spirits. Now, this may really seem like a specialized gift, something that pastors should be doing. In fact, pastors should be doing this. As a pastor, I'm a shepherd of the flock. And so my task is to guard you from the wolves and the false prophets and false teachers that want to devour you. And so I need to be discerning spirits. But the text I'm going to be reading from in a moment is a text that's from John's first epistle. And he's not writing this epistle to pastors. Now, you can find three letters in the Old New Testament where Paul is writing to pastors. That's 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. Those are letters to pastors. But John is writing to you. And, you know, this letter is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it's not just the original congregations, it's this letter. And John is your apostle as well. And so when he calls you beloved, I think he is expressing his love for Green Valley Presbyterian Church as one of the 12 apostles who founded the church, who loves the church. And he's saying to you, dear Christians, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and is now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this you know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. In these verses of 1 John, he's giving us a number of points that I want you to notice. First of all, he's saying that there are spiritual forces at work in this world. In fact, behind every ideology, every movement, every idea, every political movement, there's a spirit behind it. The Holy Spirit is behind those things which are good. But behind everything evil are evil spirits, the spirit of the Antichrist. You know, we often think of the Antichrist as something that's going to be in the future, but John clearly says, even way back in the first century, you heard the Antichrist is coming, but he's already here. The spirit of the Antichrist is moving in this world. It's kind of scary, isn't it? It is. And therefore, he says, look, we have to start testing the spirits. We have to gain discernment over what is behind the ideas that are being thrown at us, the movements that are in this world. What's going on? Now, this is not just a task of the pastor, but he's writing to you. You need to do this. And you can do it. Because did you notice that John gives you two ways to do that? First of all, you can tell where that movement comes from by what they say about Jesus Christ. He says every movement that denies that Jesus has come in the flesh, it's not from God. It's from the evil spirits. And so we can tell what's behind a movement by what they say about Jesus Christ. You know, we hear about movements, like the Enlightenment, for example. And then out of the Enlightenment came what I would like to call the three-headed monster of the 19th century. And that is Marxism, psychology, and evolution. And behind all those movements was a very anti-Christ attitude. The men who were behind all those movements hate God. They hate Jesus Christ. They hate the gospel. They hate the church. And so those movements are nothing but rottenness, because we see the spirit behind them is the spirit of the Antichrist. And the second test is that you can tell where a movement is by how they respond to the apostolic message. John says, we are from God. When he says, we are from God, he's not talking about, you know, you, the whole congregation. He's saying, we who are apostles. We apostles are from God. And whoever knows God listens to us, listens to the apostles. And whoever is not from God does not listen to us. In other words, does not listen to the apostles. Now, where is the apostles' teaching? We talked about this a few weeks ago, didn't we? The apostles' teaching is found in Scripture. The New Testament gives us the complete revelation of the apostolic message. So another test that you can use to discern what spirit is behind these ideas is, how do they respond to the New Testament, the gospel message? Are they for it or are they against it? Now, you see, these tests aren't that hard, are they? These are tests everyone can use, not just pastors, but you can use. And so they're normal. They're like stock engines, okay? They're always there. We always should be using these things. But there does come those times when the Holy Spirit needs to supercharge us. Because discernment oftentimes is difficult. You know, Satan is a liar, Jesus says in John 8. And he says he's the father of lies. And if you look at Satan's tactics, he always camouflages his lies in truth. He camouflages his lies in the truth. And therefore, it's oftentimes difficult to understand or to see the lie, because on the surface, it seems as though the person is speaking the truth. We have a really interesting story that illustrates this. It's found in Acts chapter 16, where there's a girl who has a demon that gives her the ability to be a divinator or a fortune teller. And she's a slave girl, and she's making a whole lot of money for her owners because she can foretell the future. And she starts following Paul and his companions. And the Spirit gives her an insight. And she's crying out as they go around that these men are servants of God. And they are proclaiming the way of salvation. Now, those two statements are true. Paul and his companions, they were servants of God. And the message they were preaching was the way of salvation. And so, you see, it's on the surface, it's true. But God gifted Paul so that he could discern what was really going on, what spirit was behind these woman's words. He perceived that it was an evil spirit, and he cast that spirit out. You see, what God did was he took what was normal and he supercharged it for them. And so we have this example of God taking what's ordinary and making it extraordinary. Now I want to give you another example. It's a gift of craftsmanship or artisanship. You know, I noticed after I wrote my sermon that my spell checker didn't like craftsmanship. I guess it's not proper English any longer. He wanted me to put in artisanship. So anyway, but I think you all understand what a craftsman is. Well, we meet a craftsman in Exodus. His name is Bezalel, and he is the son of Uri. And this is what God says about him. It says, "See, I've called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and have filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting stones for settings, and in carving wood, and to work every craft." And so you see this man who God supercharges to do the work of God. Now, clearly he probably knew how to do all these things before God filled him with the Holy Spirit. But you have to understand why he had to do this, why God had to supercharge him. Because if you look at the broader story of the Bible, the broader redemptive story of the Bible, what do we learn? Well, we learn that the tabernacle and then the temple after it, they're types pointing to Christ in the church. And so there's a greater significance to the tabernacle and the temple than just being buildings or places of worship. They have a redemptive historical purpose. They have a prophetic purpose, or pointing to the perfection of Jesus Christ, which means that everything in the tabernacle and the temple had to be perfect. It had to be perfect. Hope you're starting to see why God had to supercharge their gifts and the gifts of all the artisans who worked on the tabernacle or the temple. Let me give you an example. You know, the Old Testament describes all the garments that the priest had, the tent itself, and all the tapestries in the temple. These all had to be taken from thread that was spun, and then the thread had to be woven together. If it's perfect, now follow me with this, if it's perfect, not one fiber could be out of place. Those women who spun and wove, they probably knew how to spin and weave before they even worked. But those Israelite women who were trained to do this, God supercharged their abilities to God's work. I like this example because I think it reminds us that God can take the most mundane things. We don't oftentimes think of being a craftsman or a craftsperson, artisan, as being something very spiritual. But he can take what we don't think is spiritual, and because we're doing it for the glory of God and for God's work, it takes on a greater significance. And sometimes the significance is so great, God, by his Spirit, has to supercharge our abilities. All of us, all of you have different gifts and different talents that you're bringing to this church. And with all these gifts and talents, you can be serving God right now. But as you serve him, you can't serve him on your natural strength. No, you have to serve him by the strength he provides, which brings us to the application, the really important application. We serve God by the strength that he provides. You know, when it comes to the topic of spiritual gifts, the text I read from 1 Peter today, it's important. It's one that we oftentimes overlook. In fact, we overlook it so often that I think we need to read it once again. And so I want to read these verses again. Just in case you were zoning out, you weren't listening to me, see it again. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In this verse, Peter gives two examples, doesn't he? Look at the first one, speaking. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm speaking. But do you realize that I could be delivering this message in a lot of different ways? My motives and my power that I'm using could be mine. If For example, I could have the motive to be speaking what I'm speaking to advance some human agenda. That's often done in the pulpit. It's not really advancing God's agenda. It's advancing a human agenda. I could be speaking by using all my natural skills and relying upon those so as to impress you, so as to kind of puff me up and build up my pride. And everyone would say, wow, you know, what a great orator Pastor Keith is. Or I could be speaking as one who speaks the very oracles of God, with a very solemn realization that what I'm to be speaking is a message that's found in God's word to you. I'm not speaking my message. I'm speaking God's message to you. And to be speaking the oracles of God means that although I work as hard as I can by my own natural talents, I cannot rely upon those. Who can speak the oracles of God by their own strength? They can't. They have to have God supernaturally strengthening them. And so how are you serving God? Are you serving God for your own agenda? Are you serving God for your own pride? And are you serving God by your own strength? Or, as Peter tells us to do, are you serving by God's strength? You see, we often make a mistake when it comes to spiritual gifts. I think the biggest question everyone has is this: what is my spiritual gift? I think that's the most important question. I want to know what my spiritual gift is. I want to suggest to you that the most important question is this: whose strength will I rely upon as I serve God? My own or God's? You see, as you serve God, you have to rely upon the Holy Spirit. Because God will only gift those who are relying upon Him. Earlier I gave the example of that story in Acts 16 of Paul. He was going about his normal ministry. But it's interesting, I just looked at that passage and I said, how is God supercharging Paul in what he's doing in Acts 16? Well, obviously, the first gift he had was the gift of apostle, right? He always had that. But as he's going about in that town, he's a teacher as well. He has the gift of teaching. He has the gift of evangelism. He has the gift of discernment, as I use the example, the main gift that's being spoken of there. And then when he cast the demon out of this girl, he had the gift of miracles. He had all these gifts operating in his life at the same time, because the need was there. Once again, I want to come to what I would say is the all-important verses of chapter 12. And I've been stressing these two verses again and again throughout this series. Verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. You're given a gift to serve others for the common good. And the second verse is verse 11. All these, that means all these gifts, are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as He wills. In other words, it's the Spirit who's in control of the situation. When the Spirit sees a need and He finds a person who's willing to serve, the Spirit moves. The Spirit empowers. The Spirit supercharges. You know, I talked about questions that matter. Maybe here's another question that really matters. Will I place myself in a position of need? You see, we all see needs, don't we, around us? We see them all the time in the church. But will you be willing to go to that place of need and serve. Some of you won't be. Why won't you be willing to go to that place of need? Because you will say, I feel inadequate. Or, I feel as though I might fail. What's the number one reason why people don't want to evangelize? You know, the gift of evangelism is one of these supercharged gifts as I talk about. Why don't people want to evangelize? Well, I hear two things. I don't know. I may be in a situation where I wouldn't know what to say. They'll ask me a question that I won't know the answer to. Or I'm afraid that I will fail and maybe turn the person off. What are we seeing here, folks? What is the Word of God saying to us? It's saying when we serve by the strength God provides. God's not going to let you fail. And God's going to provide you the words to speak when you're to evangelize. Or when you're to serve someone. Or to help someone. Or to teach someone. Whatever the gift is, if you place yourself in the place of need, the Spirit will provide. You see, you could spend all your time taking one of these crazy spiritual inventory lists, gift inventories. You could take those little tests so often that your pencil is worn down to a little stub. But if you're not willing to put yourself in the place of need, to serve God in that place of need, you will never discover your spiritual gift. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to serve. Because God will provide. In one of the texts I read from 1 John, when it talks about the spirit of the gift of discernment, he says, greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. That's the closing chorus, but do you realize that's not a chorus? It's really a hymn. Now, we don't have the music,